You can stay right there if you want. The Lord began to stir this in my spirit yesterday. Now, if this feels like 2.0 of last week, talk to the Father. Luke 7:18. Now, it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong verse. I'm sorry, I'm in Matthew 11:1. It's in Luke 7:18 too, but I'm not reading that passage. Matthew 11:1. Now, it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison, everybody say in prison. Prison. Say it again, in prison. When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ. This is the same guy that God had just been using mightily. Remember, this is the guy, all the things that he's experienced. He's heard the works of Christ in prison. He sent two of his disciples and said to him, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Now, when we think about offense, typically, we think about things that people do to us. You know, she offended me, he offended me, he said this and it was offensive, she acted this way towards me and that was offensive, and she didn't greet me, that was offensive, and she didn't return my text, that was offensive, she didn't call me back, that I'm offended. We think about those offenses in relation to brother, to sister, to human being, but Jesus tells the disciples of John, go tell John, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Because of direct things that I am allowing to transpire in their lives. Can you think about that for a minute? Here's John sitting in prison, hearing about all the things that are happening and questioning all the things that he said himself about Jesus. And then he sins in a moment of doubt. Go ask him, are you the one? Or do we look for another? And Jesus' response is, yes, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, but tell John, blessed is he who's not offended of me. Why was John there? You got to go back to Mark chapter 6 to find out why he was there. King Herod heard of Jesus, for his name had become well known. I'm in verse 14 through 27. King Herod said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead. And therefore, these powers are at work in him. Others said, it's Elijah. Others said, it's the prophet or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard it, he said, this is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her, because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Blessed is he, John, who doesn't get offended in me of the things that I allow him to go through. I want to jump quickly to Romans chapter 8. These are the scriptures that the Lord put into my spirit yesterday. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for that we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, everybody say likewise, the Spirit also, everybody say also, the Spirit also helps us in our infirmities. You don't have to walk through what you're walking through alone, but the Spirit of God helps us in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I know what to say, Father. You ever gone to God speechless? Just absolutely speechless. I'm just going to sit here in silence today because you've stunned me. I'm stunned. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. If you weren't here on Wednesday night, go listen to what Brother Heiner had to say about prayer. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. These are deep times. These are dark times. What's being described here are moments of question, moments of doubt. Dare I even say moments of faithlessness? Moments lacking hope. He just talked about hope. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The New King James says perseverance. But this idea of these moments in time where we're going through difficulties and we're not even sure how to pray about it, but the Spirit itself, we call that praying in the Spirit. We call that yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God, and we begin to allow His Spirit to pray through us. And the Scripture goes on to say in verse 27 that He which knoweth, he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we could stay on that the rest of the day. The next verse says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Whew. That's deep. All things work together for good. What are you up against right now? The song we sang last Sunday is, it may look like I'm surrounded. What's surrounding you right now that seems like it could potentially take you under, that it could ruin you? Some of you are on the brink. You could go either way. This could ruin me or this could make me. What's the saying? This is either make you bitter or better. I'm working on switching those letters around sometimes. One letter. An I for an E. I'm either bitter and I hate God, or I'm better and I thank God. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for giving me faith. Thank you for giving me hope through this difficult season. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. Everybody say he foreknew. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those he foreknew, he also did predestinate. I've said this before, but my favorite scripture in the whole Bible is Job's revelation that he gets the day that he comes to the understanding that all that I've gone through is simply God performing that thing which has been appointed for me. Talked last Sunday about divine appointments. If you start looking at the things in your life like appointments on the calendar, if he foreknew me and predestined me for this moment right here, it's part of the process. It's part of the growing process. I've got to decide how I react through it. Now, verse 31. Now, all of this, I broke this out in my Bible because we separate these two. We read this, and then we go, oh, whew, hallelujah, got through that. Nobody wants to talk about, you know, all things work together for good. We like to quote that scripture to other people. Nobody likes that scripture quoted to them. You know, you call that friend during a dark time, and the only thing they can say on the other phone was, well, praise God, all things work together for good. And you're like, I need to find a new friend. We don't like that scripture being quoted to us. And so we separate these two things. We get into verse 31. It says, what then shall we say to these things? How do we respond to all this? What is the proper response to all of this? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on my side, who would dare pick on me? Oh, he believes in me. He trusts me. The scripture says he doesn't tempt us above that which we are able to bear, but he with every temptation provides us with a way of escape. He trusts us. He has confidence in us. He's for us. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son. We know what that means. But delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If it be your will. As he looked into that cup, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Could we just please, Bertie, please skip this season? There's a new term in our house. I think my arm hurts, but I think it might just be growing pains. Growing kids. It's growing pains. If it be your will, can I skip the growing pains? Can we skip the season? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The New King James Version says it this way. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Here's the crux of all this, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Not what? Who? No, are those who's following that? Are those who's? What are they? They're things, right? They're situations. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, I got a new perspective on this yesterday. I've always read this verse. I even maybe preached this verse a couple times from the perspective that, you know, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Woo! I got it. Then you go through some things that you recognize in the moment. These things are trying to separate me from the love of Christ. These things are trying to drive a wedge between me. The purpose of this is a test. And who shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, are there, I just have to ask, are there who's connected to all these things? Who's causing tribulation in your life? Who's causing some distress in your life? Who's persecuting you? Who's brought famine in your life? Who's maybe caused some nakedness and peril? Who's wielding a sword at you? The question that Paul has to the church at Rome is, what are you going to allow to get between you and God? What scenario could unfold in your life where you throw in the proverbial towel and say, I'm done?
What is it? Is it a little bit of tribulation? Is it some distress or stress? Is it persecution? What if a famine struck? Well, where's God at now? Nakedness. God forbid that none of us had any clothes to wear, nothing to put on our back. What about peril? The scripture tells us in the epistles that perilous times shall come. It's coming. Are perilous times going to separate you from the love of God? With the sword. All around the world today, you're seeing videos leaked into the States. Different groups around the world who are beheading Christians. Oh no, it's not happening in mass numbers yet. Yet. What are you saying, Elder Johnson? Are you saying that we're going to be beheaded? I don't know what's coming, but you see it happening. If somebody put a sword to your throat and said, denounce Christ. I mean, we say, no, 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 no. But we just read the verses last week of Peter. Right. I'll die for you. I don't know. Can I just say this? Only God knows your reaction when the heat's up. I've had people say, if somebody came in my house in the middle of the night, I'd be cool, calm, and collective. I'd grab my baseball bat, or I'd grab my gun, or I'd grab my club, or I'd grab my dog. About a year ago, I was laid in bed about 2:30 in the morning. All of a sudden, the security alarm in my house started going off, and I got a notification on my phone that the garage door had been breached. And I can't tell you I had any idea about what was about to go down or what I was about to do. And I found myself sitting on the edge of my bed, confused for a few seconds. You don't know how you're going to react in a situation until it comes. That's why Paul can write to the church, are any of these things going to separate you from the love of Christ? Well, no, tribulation would never separate me. I'd never let a little bit of stress come between me and my relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, famine, I'll starve. I'd fast for the Lord. And a little bit of trouble comes, a little bit of famine comes, a little bit of persecution comes, and we're like secret agent Christians. He goes on. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We've quoted this scripture by itself for a long time. I have, anyway. We tell people, we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Praise God, more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror in relationship to 35 and 36. That's what I've got to become, more than a conqueror in. Verse 38. For I am persuaded, and this is where we have to get to. Paul says, who shall separate us? He's writing to the church. You got to make up your mind. Tribulation's going to come. Perilous times are going to come. Famine's going to come. All these things. The sword. You've got to decide, are you going to allow these things to come between you and your relationship with God? Then he says, everybody say me. I am persuaded. He made it personal. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to go back and look at these quickly. Death. He's not talking about his own death. He may be speaking of potential death. But do you understand that when this was written, there were people giving their lives up for the gospel? People were losing their lives for the gospel. And the church, the script, if you go back and read in Acts chapter 4, The church was being persecuted without end. They were stoning them. All kinds of things were going down. John was beheaded and all these things. And Paul's writing to the church saying, you're not going to threaten me with death. I'm determined. You can't kill enough believers around me to get me to shut my mouth or to turn my back on God. Nor life. Life's never going to get so good for me. Life's never going to be so great for me that I don't really need the Lord anymore. This is all just going good. Nor angels. Nobody's going to come telling me something. I had an angelic visitation. He said this and this and this, and they walk away from God. God showed me this. The angel told me this. Paul said, no, not me. Nor principalities, nor powers. Paul would write about that later on in scriptures. This is spiritual attack. This is attack from the enemy. Principalities and powers. That's not going to happen to me. I'm persuaded. Nor things present, nothing that I'm going through right now. I'm persuaded nothing that I'm facing right now, nor nothing that is coming down the road is going to separate me. Verse 39, nor height. Anybody here, you raise your hand, ever been to some high places in God? You felt like you were on a mountaintop. Things were good. Nor depth. I want to ask you to raise your hand. Some of us have been at some really low places. We've had some dark, dark places in life. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want us to stand right now. Paul's admonition to the church. He's writing for our admonition. He's writing for our understanding. Because at some juncture in our walk with God, each of us are going to be faced with these things. And we have to determine before we're faced with them, what are you going to do about them? You've got to be persuaded on the front end. You know, I foolishly had some thoughts a while ago, maybe 3 to 5 years ago, maybe longer than that. I foolishly had some thoughts, Brother Doyle. I thought, you know, that's pretty good. I don't understand these people that, you know, walk away from God. What is wrong with them? I don't understand these people, Jared, that get offended at God. What is wrong with you? You know, I didn't say that out loud, but you think about these things, you know. Man, he died on the cross for me. He washed my sins away. He's done all these magnificent things for me. He's blessed me and given me a beautiful wife, beautiful children, and a family, and all these things he's given me. And how, I just don't understand. I look at these people, and they have the same things. God's blessed them, given them wives and homes, and they get angry at God. They get offended at God, and they let something separate them from him. They get an offense in their spirit. They think it's at man, but it's really at God. Because they walk away from God. If it was really at man, you know, you make things right with man, but it's hard to make things right with God. Can't see him. You can't ignore him on Sundays. He's just always there. Ever notice about offenses with God? It's just always just kind of there, just kind of raw. Kind of hanging out. It's hard to have a face-to-face. We call them come-to-Jesus meetings with God, right? It's difficult. I remember thinking, man, this just, you know, how do people get offended at God, Brother Roxman? How does that happen? You know, I'm thinking these things in my naive mind, my naive Christian mind. And it was almost like the Holy Ghost said, Oh, you want to know how? You're really wondering, are you? Let me show you. Wow. I'm telling you today with conviction, you have got to be persuaded today. Because it's coming. I'm not a prophet. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm just telling you by the word of God, it's coming. These things are going to come into your life. The scripture we read said those that he foreknew, he predestined, and he allows all these things to transpire in us and through us so that he can make us into what he wants us to be. And so I have to be assured today. I have to be persuaded today before I leave this room that I'm not letting anything get between me and God. Oh, things will try, things will pop up, but I've got to address them as they come. I wonder if you'd close your eyes and lift your hands right now. I'm going to ask the praise team to lead us in song for just a few more moments here, and then we'll probably transition into something else, but I felt this so strongly this morning. And as we begin to worship the Lord, just begin to stir this over and over in my spirit. We have got to be persuaded today. Blessed. Go tell John. Blessed are they who are not offended because of me. In the name of Jesus. I pray, let us be strengthened with might by your spirit in the inner man. I pray, let us be persuaded today. Above all things, above all else, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Everybody say praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's still okay to clap our hands to the Lord. Amen. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful spirit in this room today. Amen. Wow. The anointing is in this place. Praise God. I know the Lord put something in my heart, in my spirit. First, let me call my wife. Just before we fly out tomorrow back to the Philippines, I know it's going to be a while. We're not going to see you guys for a long time. This time when we fly out. So may as well just have her greet the congregation and amen. Because we're going to miss you guys.
Praise the Lord. It's great to be in the place where you are free to give all you got for the Lord. Amen. You can just, you know, sing the most you can for the Lord. You can raise your hands. You know, in other places in the world, you can't do this. There's no freedom to touch as thing like we have here. That's why when Elder Johnstone was speaking about that, I know in some places it's already been there. It's already there. The persecutions, all these perils and dangers of being a Christian. But I'm glad to be with you today, this morning, because it's so good to feel with the family, the feeling of being with the family, worshiping the Lord. And we're heading back to the field tomorrow in the morning. But I just want to say something to encourage you. Where, first of all, I want to thank you for all your prayers and everything that you do to support our ministry and our children here that are left. And everybody, the family, thank you for loving them, for accepting them, for helping them out in everything that they need. But the Lord has been speaking to me lately in my prayers, and I just want to read that scripture to you. It's about the open doors, the doors in our lives that God has opened. And there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, when it says, there's a great door that is opened wide. When the door is opened, it's opened by the Lord. So we are going there, not because we're opening doors for ourselves, we're promoting ourselves that we're, you know, we're ministers, we can preach to their places. No, we're just waiting for where God leads us, where he opens the door. And when he opens the door for us, it's wide. It's wide. It's not just, you know, little open with a crack. No, it's wide. But we can make our choice of staying just right there at the door and not go walk through it. But the Lord has promised there's an effective service if you go walk through the door. But also, there are adversaries. That's what the Bible says. So, when I think about David, there was an open door for him in the valley, and there was Goliath. But he wasn't afraid to face that adversary, that giant. He faced it, he slayed it, and he moved on. Peter, his open door one time was in the sea, and he thought he's okay because the Lord was with them, Jesus was with them, but also the storms, the opposition, the opposing winds were coming to them and were trying their faith. But of course, we know what happened after that. When they walked through that, there was a blessing on the other side. So it's just walking through the door where God leads us in our lives. I don't know what's your open door right now. Maybe it's your family, it's your friends, it's your workplace. But if you just go there and walk by faith that the Lord is with you, He is going to be with you anyway. It's his promise. It's bound to his word. So right now we're going back to the field with an open door that's widely open for us. And, you know, there's always a fear of, they said, the unknown. But also the known things are fearful too. I know there's a volcano erupting where it's like less than an hour away from our house. The crater, the distance is less than an hour away. And our house is covered with ashes, and everybody is afraid that it's going to erupt big time. It's just building up down there right now. And we bought our tickets right before it erupted. And we were thinking, are we really going back? Because some of my family members in the Philippines said, you guys are fine there, stay there, you're safe. But see, if we don't go back, the reason why we're not going back is because we have the fear. And fear is not from God. And also we know we have a ministry. There's a big, you know, when the door opens for us, the door is so widely open, there's also opportunities waiting for us. And this is what we're feeling right now. We're going back there. There's a big door open, and there's a lot of opportunities for us to serve the Lord and to show the people the love of God. So pray for us. We're so thankful for everything that you're doing in this church. We pray for you all the time. We pray for revival coming in this place. And we're all one in the work of the Lord, wherever we're at. We're all one in the Spirit. And you're always in our hearts. Thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I promise I'm not going to preach long. I just want to share something what the Lord put in my spirit. Last night, it's kind of rough for me. I was up almost the whole night. There's just a lot of things going on in my mind, and I hope this is okay. I'm just being honest with you. There's a lot of things going on, like not only what's happening in the world today, you know, the current events going on, the fear of the war and the conflicts between nations, and the calamities happening everywhere. Not only those things, but, you know, personally, there are some things that we question why it happens. We question why, what's going on, well, you know. And you might say, ah, this is Brother Laksaman. He's a preacher. He's a minister. You know, why would he go through that? Why would he have that sleepless nights and feeling bothered and could not sleep? And where's that peace of God, you know, that passes all understandings? Where is that joy of the Holy Ghost that gives us strength? You know, we preach that. Amen. We believe that. That is the Word of God. That is anointed. There's authority in the Word. There are promises in the Word of God. But I'm here to tell you that even the very best, even the greatest, could feel weak, could have questions, could get discouraged, could get sick. Even the very best, even the greatest, John the Baptist, Elder was just talking about that. He was the greatest one born among women. He was the greatest among the prophets. He was the one in the same situation, how he came to the world, an angelic visitation and a miraculous situation to where God intervened in behalf of the situation of this couple to give birth to such a man that will play a very important role in the history, and that is to be the forerunner to introduce the one that will take away the sins of the world, that will have the spirit of Elijah, and then will preach repentance for the people to repent and get ready because the kingdom of God is at hand. He was the one who pointed to the people, the Lamb is coming. He's whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that's coming after me, he will baptize you with fire. The Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. He's the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He's the greatest among the greatest of men. He's the greatest one born among women. And yet here we found, Elder was reading from the passage of the scripture, he was in doubt. He was weak. His mind's got a lot of questions. There's got a lot of things going on in his mind. Second guessing about what he said, everything about Jesus. Jesus rose the dead. Jesus ministered to all the sickness. Jesus did all the miracles. And yet here he was inside the cell, inside the prison, questioning and doubting. Is he the one? Or we should look for another. What a situation to where, how it's always possible to men, to everybody, to get discouraged and to question God and to get offended with some situations. But here was a man, a great man, a prophet, the greatest among the greatest of men. The forerunner of the Messiah. Discouraged at his very lowest point of life, at his darkest hour in life. Is he really the Jesus, the Messiah? The one that I've been preaching about that will take the sins of the world, the Savior of mankind, is he really the one? Or we should look for another, or there's someone else coming. It came to Jesus. And Jesus' response was, blessed are they who are not offended at me. the blind saw. And all the miracles he mentioned happened. Tell all these things to John. Amen. There's no question about the ministry. There's no question about what we have gone through. There's no question about what we have witnessed. There is no question about what we have received from the Lord. There's no question about all the encouragements and the empowerments and all the blessings that we experience while serving God. But there will always come a time that life is like a roller coaster ride. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, sometimes you're all excited. Sometimes you're in one corner crying. Not saying this because I'm telling you I am discouraged. Not saying this. I'm not saying this because I am at my lowest point in my life. It's just God put this in my spirit and I'm not sure. When Elder opened up with those scriptures, I said, there must be something that the Lord would like to address to this congregation. There must be something so clear to me in the spirit. Somebody's going through something, and God would encourage you. God wants to lift you up. God wants you to keep going. Amen. And continue to live by faith. Sometimes we live in the obscure days, in the darkest hour of our lives, and our vision is so blurry and we could not see. Amen. But the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We might not see. But the Lord said, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. Amen. What we do from the very start to the finish when Jesus returns, everything is about faith. Everything is about faith. Amen. I understand sometimes our faith is high, sometimes our faith is low. I understand we're given different measures of faith. But one thing is certain. We cannot afford to lose faith. We cannot afford to trade our faith into something. We might lose everything, but we cannot afford to lose faith. Faith is the only one that keeps us going. Faith is the only one that will make us get up. Faith is the only one that will make us recover. Faith is the only one that can make us and help us through this journey until we get to the other side. It's all about faith. Amen. Talking about offense, I was just looking at the scripture in Luke chapter 17. Verse 5, that incident when the disciple approached Jesus, requested about something very important. Luke 17, verse 5, we can put it up in the screen. Previously, there was offense going on. And here are the disciples thinking about, wow, we're in trouble. What's going to happen to us? Offense is a situation that happens to everybody. And since it's all about what's affecting our faith, the disciples take it very seriously. And so they ask the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. When offense comes, when situation happens, when we go through hardships and circumstances, when we question things and we do not have the answer, when we get frustrated, our faith becomes low. When we get offended, then the disciples said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Amen. If there's anything that would help us, I know the love of God is the most powerful thing of all. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. None of all things, all those things mentioned in Romans chapter 8, nothing, absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. That is the kind of love that God has for us. That's the highest kind of, that's what we call the agape love. Whereas the way we love is in two different categories or levels, the filial love and the eros love, the human love and our love with relationship in relationships. Our love can walk away from God. Our love can separate us from God. Our love can turn our back from the things that God promises us. It's our love. Speaking about love is so limited, sometimes selfish, earthly. But the love of God, it doesn't matter how deep is the pit that we fell through. The stubborn love of God will still try to reach in. Amen. By His mercy, pick us up and help us to get back on track. No matter how we try to keep turning our back from God and run away from God, but it's the stubborn love of God, that kind of God's love that will keep chasing us and trying to get our attention. I love you. I'll never forget you. I'll have mercy for you. My grace is abounding for you. I will help you to get back. I will help you to stand back. I will help you to recover. Amen. That's the kind of God of love that we have from God, and we appreciate that so much. Amen. But sometimes our faith, it's because of our faith that it's not in the right level. Sometimes we wonder, how are we going to make it through? Sometimes we wonder, how are we going to continue? We wonder, how are we going to keep on keeping on in this kind of thing? And some of us probably in a situation where we're in the maintenance mode, just trying to make it, just trying to show up, just to say, I made it to church, thank God. Amen. But you know, our faith could be frustrated. Even David gets frustrated. The king, the man after God's own heart, gets frustrated in his faith. Not that he doesn't believe God. Not that he doesn't have faith. It's not that he doesn't know the capability of God, what God can do. He knows. But his faith gets frustrated at times. You know how a frustrated faith sounds? You know the voice of a frustrated faith? You know the voice of someone who has low in faith? Let's turn to Psalms chapter 13, please. Let's hear the sound of faith that is frustrated from someone that people look up to. The man after God's own heart. Amen. Psalms 13. He said, how long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? Now put yourself in David's situation. He would question God like that. Lord, You know where my situation is. You know what I'm going through right now. You know the hardship that I go through, how I suffer in this condition. How long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever? Can you imagine David would question God? Is there no stop in this situation that I'm going through, the circumstance that's happening to me? Am I going to be in this spot forever? And then he said, how long will you hide your face from me? Next verse. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? You try to imagine how long David has been in that kind of situation. And so he's asking God, is it going to be like this forever? Am I going to be counseling my soul and having sorrow in my heart every day in my life? What's going on, Lord? I don't get it. I don't understand what is happening. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Next verse. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Wow. What a hopeless state from a voice of someone who's frustrated in their faith. Coming from King David. Consider and hear me, Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, otherwise I'll die. I'll sleep and just not wake up. I'll sleep the sleep of death. Next verse. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. They will scorn at me. They will laugh at me. They will make fun of me. They'll say, look at that guy. Look at him. The guy, the man after God's own heart. Look how pitiful his condition is. Having pity party in the corner. Look at him. I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me, he said, rejoice when I am moved. Next verse. But while he was talking to God, while he was asking God those questions, while he was pouring his heart out to God and venting all of his frustrations to God, his complaining, his murmuring, his praying turned into realizing he is God. I've seen him work in my life from my youth. I've seen all the works of his hand. I've seen his might. I've seen how he was with me in many battles, in many situations. While complaining, being frustrated, hurting, murmuring, then he realized. While praying, he turned into, oh God, but I have trusted in your mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I can do that. Where else could I go? Who else could help me in my situation? Just like when the disciples, the multitudes turned their way, turned their back from the Lord in John chapter 6. They turned back and walked away from the Lord. And Jesus turned to his disciples as if like he opened the door to his disciples also and said, how about you guys? Will you also walk away? Are you going to go with the multitudes? Come on, how about you guys? I like what Peter said. Where else should we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. There's no one else out there. No other Savior out there. Nothing else out there that will save us in this misery, in this pitiful situation. But I have trusted in your mercy, O God. He remembers the mercy of God is from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy of God, they are new every morning. The mercy of God, it endureth forever. Great is the faithfulness of God. And he realized he's going through something. He's going through hardships and sufferings, questions in his mind, groping in the dark. But he remembers God is the God of mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. That what we go through at times, sometimes God will allow that for a reason. Because God is teaching us something. There is a lesson that will be learned always after every test. And that test will turn out to be a testimony. And that mess that we are in will turn out to be a message from the Lord. Amen. And we know what happened next from David's situation. Praise God. It's all about our trust in the Lord that we cannot afford to lose. It's all about our faith in the Lord that we cannot afford to diminish. Amen. Every time we go through something, or we get offended, or we are in the dark, or we have questions, we do not have the answer. Where is faith coming from? If we know what we need is our faith to increase, and so that will help us get back on our feet, because it's only faith that will keep us going, right? Only faith that will restore us and will recover the things that's stolen from us by believing and trusting in the Lord. But where is faith coming from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You do not want to miss church. You don't want to miss Bible studies. You do not want to miss your daily routine of reading and communing with God, reading his word. You cannot afford to get away from the presence of the Lord and hear what God is dropping in your spirit, the words of God speaking to you and talking to you, because that's where faith comes from. There is no way that your faith will recover if you do not heed to the word of God. Amen. That's why we come together for fellowship. The scriptures and the message and the exhortation we heard from Elder is perfectly for the situation of some today, if not for all. Praise God. Lord, I don't know what I'm going through. I don't know how am I going to make it. Lord, I have a lot of questions in my mind. God, how long is this going to be? But Lord, your mercy, they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, your mercy endureth forever. I will still trust in you no matter what. My faith will continue. I will continue to attend to your word, reading your word, and I will hear from you. Amen. And pray, Lord, increase my faith. Help my faith. When Jesus knew what's going to happen to Peter, he's going to be tempted, he's going to go through hardships. His faith will be tested. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. He's going to shake your faith. You're going to be in trouble. Satan is coming after you. And you're going to go through things that will shake your faith. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. The most important prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and me is not that I pray that you have the best car, the nicest house in the hilltop. I pray that you have the best job. I pray that you get this much money and this much blessing. You know, that's not the most important prayer of the Lord for you and me. The most important prayer of Jesus for all of us as a church, as His children, is that our faith will not fail. And so we pray, Lord, help our faith. Increase our faith. Because faith is everything. Faith is everything. Amen. I slept probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30. Got up at 6:30. Before I got to sleep, I'll be honest with you, I'm like, see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, right? Amen. Our warfare is not fleshly, it's not earthly, it's not like, you know, let me battle. Let me go against this thought, this things that's going on in my mind. No, the Bible says it's mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to obedience of Christ. I prayed, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity all these thoughts, and I fell asleep. But I set my alarm 6:30. I woke up. Guess what? When I woke up, wow, the horizon's clear. God put it in my heart, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Let's all stand together. Amen. I'd like for you to expect that the Lord will do great things in your life. Whether whatever situation you are in, it's already been promised. The Lord promised us great things. And it will come to pass. Amen. The help is on the way. Do not doubt about it. Have faith in God. So I came here to tell you. You have questioned the pain. You have questioned the diagnosis. You have questioned why, and no answers. But God wants me to tell you, have faith in God. Keep your faith strong. Keep your faith strong. Do everything you can to reinforce your faith. That is the one that will win the battle. That's the one that will gain you muscles. That's the one that will restore everything that was taken out. by believing that God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen. God bless you.